you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, November 13th, 2018. And if you heard our little 3-minute mailbag spot? Gosh, I have to think about it. We read some listener letters today, but we also referenced that if you tuned in for today's edition of Mark and Friends, you would hear us reading from chapter 24, titled The Animals of Africa, from the book Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, our very own. I refer to you as our Monday and Tuesday co-host.
Thank you.
And our director of creative services, our editor-in-chief of the Prime Life Times. If you were tuned in yesterday, you heard us read a story by Kathleen Jennings. She actually read it.
Yeah.
Our content contributor, Kathleen Jennings.
Very meaningful.
It was a great way to continue to honor our veterans and those that have served and served on our behalf, the liberties that we cherish, I hope, and maybe sometimes take for granted, but we shouldn't, because there has been a costly price paid on our behalf. But it was a great story. It was really touching.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of these when Kathleen Jennings got done, it was like you can't have too much fun and laughter because, you know, you're talking about all that happened, the death and all that was involved with World War One, and then subsequently all the wars and the carnage and just the terrible effects that war has on a population, on a people, on the future, on mankind. So.
Yeah.
But a powerful story. And
it was.
And that's on the front page of the November edition of the Prime Life Times, which, when was it, yesterday, we were in here in the studio, we saw somebody.
Oh, you're going to tell about that?
hey, I need some helpers. I need some spotters out there. This was my fear, that somebody would see our stands of the Prime Life Times, see free, and say, hey, I need filler to
unpack.
What was somebody told me one time, that some of the people that sell all their wares and tears on those weekend flea markets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, somebody used some of our Prime Life Times papers to sell their flea market items and then wrap them up and whatever.
Well, I hope they read the articles as they worked.
And so, anyways, as Marianne and I were in here talking, I see this guy and something triggered in me like, And I looked at him a little longer, and next thing I know, he has about 40 editions and he's walking away. So I leap up, Marianne's like shocked. I moved really fast.
I have never seen you move. You were like lightning. You were out of the chair, around the corner.
I ran to the front door, and I walked out.
I said, sir.
And by that point, I mean, I moved fast.
He was almost
all the way to the west entrance. And I said, sir, those papers are free, but they're intended to be read by an individual that will take one.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. And then he walked back. Thank you. It didn't have to be a confrontation.
Yeah.
He set them all back. And so then I came back in here. We continued our discussion. Well, about 4 minutes later, this kind lady that's, I think, one of the mall walkers, somebody that walks around here, comes in and says, what you said was meaningless. Or I think I was like, what?
I was like, what?
And so she strolls up to the studio window here, and I open up the little window here, and she says, well, you know that individual you talked to? And I said, yeah.
She heard that whole situation.
Yeah, she must have heard me. I didn't know anyone was eavesdropping or listening
in. She was just nearby.
Yeah, and I have a pretty loud voice.
Yeah. Well, you did then.
Yeah. So she said he went around to the north entrance and took a bunch off the rack there and left. Because the guy said, well, I was going to use them for my dogs. And I said, well, you know, these are to be read and to be shared, not to be used as filler for your gerbil terrarium or whatever that is. Or
certainly not this month, at least.
So anyway, so he went to the north entrance then and just grabbed a bunch. So
that was nice of her to tell you.
So she said, I'll keep my eyes open. And so I probably got to talk to maintenance. But my sharing of all this, if you see somebody and you're at the Walmart or somewhere and they're taking 20
like
or 30
papers,
you might even say, hey, do you enjoy it so much? You're going to give it to all your friends. I mean, don't be confrontational.
No,
don't get in a fight or anything.
No, please don't.
But if you see somebody you can may maybe just say, hey, are you going to share those with all your friends? And, you know, let them know that there is a cost for
these. Yeah, there is.
And with the printing prices going up and elevated and us creating 28 pages,
32.
Additional pages, 32 and such, you know, it ends up being about, I got to calculate it again. It used to be about 18 to 22 cents.
It's about 25 cents a paper.
Yeah, 25, I think, to about 30 cents a paper. So when somebody grabs 20 or 30, you know, it's $3, $4, $5 dollars. And so we want these to be read. We work really hard to have great content.
Thankfully, they are being read.
Yes, yes.
Lots
and we want the advertisers to feel it's a great value. And so they're going out. They're making a difference.
Yeah, they are. We get lots of feedback. That's great. You know, I just have to say, I know you've been athletic and you play racquetball and all these things, but you were like lightning getting out of here.
When I saw him walk by our front door, and then the next window when I saw him with a big stack, I said, no, this is not going to happen. It could remind me of my Jewel days where I would chase shoplifters, which wasn't always the brightest thing to do. But,
really.
I didn't like people stealing from me.
No.
Oh, okay.
Gracious. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday, everyone. Don't steal today, everyone, okay?
Most of our listeners are in jeopardy of that.
So Memories of an African Son, we're up to chapter 24. If you're going to read along with us, that's page 112. So what are we about halfway through this great novel? Yeah. Let's say 60 chapters, almost halfway.
Almost, yeah. Getting there.
So the animals of Africa, I kind of already know where this may lead.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some conviction for us.
Well,
right?
My heart. I love animals. Hmm. By the way, what kind of dog is Beamer? Somebody asked me the other day.
Golden Retriever.
Okay.
And a
full
bred. He has papers.
Okay. Oh, really? You've got papers.
He's my fourth Golden.
Okay.
Once you get a Golden, I heard this about people that have had German Shepherds or Irish Setters or Huskies or...
I love Irish Setters. They're not good guard dogs. They just make friends with everybody, but I love them.
Well, Golden Retrievers, I got my first one years ago. Actually found it along the Sangamon River as I was canoeing.
Really?
And it was a little runt. And
interesting story.
Oh, yeah. I went to the Humane Societies locally. I called the papers and said...
He was lost.
But they said there's a tendency some people, they've gotten rid of pets in this area.
They just dumped their...
And they might have dumped... And he seemed like he was a runt. Anyways, I called the Humane Society. I called a couple of the veterinarians. You know, I was thinking, imagine a little 8-year-old boy gets it for his birthday and he's in tears. So
As much as you wanted it, you...
Well, by day 2 and 3, I started getting attached. I was like, you know, so I did everything I could and I called the right avenues that I thought, and nobody claimed it. And then hearing that sometimes along that patch of the Sangamon River, people have discarded their pets.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways, he was the first Golden. And he was the best.
Love.
He was out at the tower with me every day. People used to get sick of... He was CJ, my CJ stories. And then we got a couple more, a brother-sister, and they were great.
Now you got Beamer.
Then Beamer and Beamer. I don't want to say they all got better, but Beamer's the best of them all. And I've had him almost 9 years.
Wow.
So,
somebody asked me, and I said, I think it's a Golden Retriever.
Yeah, so once I got the first Golden Retriever, it's like, they're the best.
Well,
they do shed. That's maybe the only drawback, but they're loving. They're
Beamer's
easy
so
with kids.
Loving.
They're
He's
easy
so
to
nice.
Train. So,
good job. He wouldn't bother your chickens or anything.
Nope. Yeah, he was good. He was he's friends to all.
I like that. Okay, so shall I read?
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 24, The Animals of Africa. Nothing could have prepared me for the exhilaration of standing on a windswept plain and seeing Cape Buffalo by the thousands from where I stood all the way to the horizon.
Now, when you say Cape Buffaloes...
Uh-huh, the Cape of Africa.
The Cape of Africa.
Yeah, they're called Cape Buffalo. They're huge, big, huge, round horns.
Okay, not from where they're from, but that's the type of buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Well, from the southern Cape of Africa, but yeah, they're called Cape Buffalo.
Okay.
They're enormous, and they literally, from where I stood, to the horizon.
Wow.
Thousands upon thousands of them. Can't find that today. Seeing Cape Buffalo by the thousands from where I stood all the way to the horizon, or for excitedly counting 200 wild elephants in one day, for the sight of lions viewing me at dusk from the tall golden grass almost hidden, their keen eyes always watching, for giraffe gracefully swaying in the crimson sunset, while zebra wandered below them.
And this was in your viewing.
Oh, I yes.
Mean, for people maybe unfamiliar with this book, Memories of an African Son, this is a, well, not a novel. What do you call this? This is a...
It's a memoir. It's a...
Memoir.
Devotional. It's inspirational. It's a story of my life.
Yeah. Right.
It's in two or three categories. It made pretty high in the biography, women's inspirational group. It made it... some high in other ones, so I'm not sure what genre
and this
it is.
Is recounting stories of you
life.
And your family's experience mm-hmm. there in Africa.
Yeah. Nothing could have prepared me for an island with thousands of monkeys swinging from the trees, for the terror of being chased by a group of baboons and barely making it inside as they crashed against the door, scratching and scraping at the screen as it slammed shut behind me, or being chased by a charging bull elephant, trumpet raised and ears flapping. So many times I watched as herds of beautiful impala leapt gracefully in front of us as we yet again stopped the Land Rover or car or truck and waited patiently for them to cross the dirt road as we made our way to or from our mission station. The list of animals was so long. The painted wild dogs, vervet monkeys, rhinos, cheetahs, water bucks, gorgeous sables, wildebeest, elands, kudus, and on and on. They were magnificent, sentient creatures of God. Once, when we were staying in a rustic...
I'll get Robin to help define that sentient.
Sentient.
Of God.
Thinking. Thinking and wise. Once, when we were staying in a rustic cabin on a small hill, far out on the savannah, the lanterns were extinguished, and we sat for a long time in the darkness, just listening to the various eerie sounds below us. A movement, a strange howl, a rush, and then the cough of a leopard, the call of a lion. Then, quiet, and yet more movements in the night. There is nothing quite like the sound of Africa's wild animals moving, unseen, in the dark. And nothing, then or now, could have prepared me for the unbelievable abuses that are wreaked upon these animals of Africa. As much as there are those who care about their lives and preserve their right to exist, there are others who willingly mow them down in merciless pain, hacking off their tusks and body parts and leaving them to die, poaching them to make ivory trinkets or potions for vendors both in Africa and numerous other places. It is bloody, cruel, tormenting, and evil. The fact that this is allowed to go on without a world uprising is a travesty that will lie at the feet of the human race. Some predict that elephants will disappear from their native habitats within the next two decades if the madness is not stopped. The mountain gorilla, white rhino, and cheetah are also in a state of imminent danger. Why have so many humans descended into a state of such degradation that they have no concept of the value of life? And equally important, why have so many people of faith forgotten that the same Creator who made them also spent enormous time and energy creating the other life forms on this planet? We sat around the dinner table late one night in the light of our oil lamps, finished plates pushed to the side, and listened intently to a young man just up from South Africa. He told us of his new job, tranquilizing wild animals to be transported by truck and then shipped to America for trophy hunters to, quote, hunt in enclosed preserves. The animals would arrive completely out of their natural environment, stripped from their family units, and weakened from shipment. And for no reason, except for sport, not even for food. It was disturbing beyond measure as we sat by the dim circles of light after dinner, listening to stories of this terrible market just opening up. As I contemplate the carnage that is ravaged upon these creatures, both in the past and the present, and the heroic efforts of the people who are attempting to save them, my mind turns to my own country.
Many say it was Chief Seattle of the Duwamish Native Americans of North America who said, "How man treats the animals today is how man will be treated tomorrow." The implications of his statement are profound. Is the disregard for the value of animal life one of the signposts we should have noticed on the road to our disregard for human life? At the very least, we should not condone the merciless killing of a life to simply make ivory knickknacks or so-called potions, and not turn a blind eye to much of the useless and cruel testing performed on animals by cosmetic companies, universities, and other industries until they're through with them, their bodies destroyed and racked with pain. I respect Albert Schweitzer, the medical missionary to Central West Africa and winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, deeply. "I was living in Africa the year he died," he said. "Until he extends his circle of compassion to include all living things, man will not himself find peace." Whenever the taking of a life is done for fun and killing it perpetrated only for enjoyment, then something has changed on a profound level. It is at that moment that humans take themselves out of the reality of the necessity that the rest of the animal kingdom lives in. Albert Schweitzer also said so well, "Anyone who has accustomed himself to regard the life of any living creature as worthless is in danger of arriving also at the idea of worthless human lives." Perhaps we owe it to our Creator to rethink our presumptuousness and our callousness. God said to Noah, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth." Genesis 9:9-10. If covenant talk between God himself and the animals doesn't make us think, then I'm not sure what will. We are not quite as great as we try to convince ourselves. We, too, are created beings. Or perhaps we were created with greatness in us, and we were told to be caretakers of the animals and the earth around us. And this is how sickeningly far we have fallen from that task. I, too, enjoy posters of cute animals, but saving them from unspeakable torture is more meaningful. And perhaps a few dollars to those valiant people trying desperately to protect them would be in order. The prayer of Albert Schweitzer. Heavenly Father, protect and bless all things that have breath. Guard them from all harm and evil, and let them sleep in peace tonight.
The call to be caretakers.
Yeah.
Very biblical.
It definitely is biblical. Yes, it is.
Gosh, I was thinking of one of the quotes that you reference, "Until he extends his circle of compassion to include all living things, mm-hmm. man will not himself find peace." But also, it's like a precursor, how we treat animals, in fact, how we would treat future yeah. human beings. I think even the Nazis, some of that, how they yes. would treat certain things, and then how they had to even look at the Jewish people as being subhuman. And mm-hmm. Once you start walking down that path,
yes.
where it leads.
That is true. There's many very brilliant people in this world, Martin Luther King Jr., many of them who see that same road. If you're willing to just be cruel to animals, you know, end up saying, well, babies don't matter. What about old people?
Yeah. I think, I don't know, it was a YouTube posting or one of those news feeds where there was a guy, I don't know if he was in Australia, but he was just driving his truck and there were these large ostriches or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just wanted to drive over them all.
Oh.
There was dozens of them.
Oh,
and
my
he
goodness.
Just thought it was funny and he was filming himself.
Oh, that's like a sociopath.
And people saw him and he lost his job.
Good.
And I think there was going to be some crimes against him, law enforcement or something because of the recklessness and some other things. And I just thought, that guy, for to do that, I just couldn't even fathom it. And he thought it was kind of funny. And
dreadful.
I was like,
well,
yeah.
You know, the famous person, I can't recall the name, said every creature's life is so important to itself. It's true for us.
Yeah. Well, and God, it was the creator. He designed the animals, and he allowed Adam to name them one by one. And obviously brought them onto the ark and desired them to be preserved and for us to be caretakers and look after them. And,
absolutely.
And I guess initially, maybe before the fall, we were all not to eat meat. I know after Noah, then we were allowed to or permitted to. I don't know if that was still the ideal, but I think initially vegetarians.
Well, the scripture says that to the animals and to us, was given the food of the plants and the herbs and every seed-bearing plant. And then not animals. We were not to eat them. But after the flood, I think because part of what people had been doing was killing them. And think about it. If they weren't afraid of us, how horrible it would be. You could just destroy them all.
Yeah.
And after the flood, he said, I'll put the fear of man upon them. They went wild.
Yeah.
He put that upon them. And then he said, you can eat them without it being a sin.
Oh, well, another.
So now it's not a sin to eat meat, but it still matters how we treat life in general.
And it is a precursor
or
a strong indicator on where we're headed when we disregard life.
In all forms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Boy, we had kind of the tough reading on Monday with Kathleen Jennings, The Flanders Fields,
oh,
and that poem. And
I know, it's so heartbreaking.
The destruction and all that died and suffered.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now today, the animals suffer and a lot to think about.
It is a lot to think about, but there's hope.
Yep, there's hope. And we serve a great God, a redemptive God that can bring good out of even terrible things, out of evil. And thank you that we can draw on his strength and get his wisdom and insight and be those caretakers.
Well, of all people, I believe the believers and people of God, Christians, should be those caretakers.
Amen.
We care about what he made. He made it.
Amen. Amen and amen. We'll leave on that great note. He's in charge. He wants to work in and through us.
Yeah.
And may we be those vessels of healing and hope and caretakers to continue to care for this world.
Yeah, and of each other.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.